Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, he is right. It is always good food month, but it's especially good food month right through November here in Melbourne. We're going to be talking with Oliver Gould and with Asher, who has got the best job in Melbourne overseeing this festival. It all kicks off very shortly, and we'll kick off very shortly with you indeed right here until 2 o'clock. Asher, welcome.
Hi.
I was just getting into that, and I was just thinking, are we going to see sausages and mustard at this magnificent month of food right here in Melbourne, Good Food Month? But perhaps before I ask you the difficult questions, I could introduce you. Two people sit in front of me, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking today all about Good Food Month. It has started in Melbourne already, and from now until the 30th of November, Melbourne will be alive with food events, 300 events, so let's work on 10 a day on an average that you can attend as a consumer. And they cover breakfast, lunch, dinner, late into the evening, early in the morning, any particular time of the day, night or weekend. You can take part in Good Food Month, and we are going to spend the next 53 minutes talking all about it. The two people in my studio, Ashton, your title is the general manager. You must have a hell of a lot of fun putting this thing together.
It's been a lot of fun, especially being the first year. It's great to just see Melburnians come up to the plate and, so to speak,
yep.
Chefs and restaurants do what they do well in the food industry. And we've got a really great program of over 300 events.
We'll be able to talk about a lot of those,
but
we perhaps should introduce our other guests before we get too carried away. Oliver Gould is the current Young Chef of the Year for the Age Good Food Guide. He is the executive head chef at Stokehouse.
Head chef at Stokehouse.
Yeah. Right down on that, you must have a lovely day every day going to work and having that beach there in front of you.
It's phenomenal. I've been there for 8 years now, and it's very hard to pass up days like today. You've got the best view in town, so it's a joy to go to work and get paid for it. So
I can imagine it is, and a good bunch of people to work for as well. The Van Handel,
fantastic. They look after everyone really well, so.
Which is what we like to hear. We're going to talk all things with you as well about your career and awards, and not just what you're doing at the Stokehouse for this event, but also what you want to go and see as somebody who is a part of the industry. What you want to go and have a look at as well. So we'll come to all of that very shortly. We will talk a little later also with Frank Kimura from Movida, because, of course, tomorrow kicks off the Movida Laneway Festival. Almost, if you don't know where Movida is, you should, because it's the perfect place to go and have wonderful Spanish food. Of course, we won't be doing ads about any particular venue, because it's not that sort of program. But Stick with us because there is a lot that we're going to get through. Of course, as always, love to hear from you. You might be out driving in your car in this magnificent sunny weather, 25.5 degrees outside already. You can send an SMS to 0427JOY949. Not, of course, while you're driving. Get your passengers to do it. 0427JOY949. You can email on air at joy.org.au. You can phone 1300JOY949. Heath is on the desk, more than happy to take your call. He can run a message in to me at any given moment. And you can tweet to cravings_joy949. Oliver's on Twitter. Good Food Month is on Twitter. So you can get involved in this conversation in a variety of ways, and we would love you to do so. So Renee Redzepi has sadly departed already, and the festival has just begun. Of course, world number one chef from Noma in Copenhagen. How much fun was it to have him around and sort of kick off the festival with Renee?
Oh, look, it was really special to have Renee come in. We launched off at the new Fatto Bar and Cantina, which yes. the Manhandle Group have just opened. That's just near the Art Centre there. And we had Renee as our special guest. So he kicked off the celebrations for November. He held a talk. We actually had two sessions, which sold out at the Wheeler Centre.
Yep.
It's just great to, you know, obviously have someone of his stature come in and talk about his journey as a chef. And he talked about the perils of success of being number one in the world and how he's dealt with it.
It is a very difficult thing. I've heard others talk about the perils of success. Perhaps you might be taking notes, Oliver. the pressure to maintain a position as the top 1, 2, 5, 10, number 21 even in the world. A very difficult thing to do because there is that constant need to make sure that you're as close to perfection as possible. We will never get to perfect because that's an inhuman situation to be in. But certainly to be as good as you can always be on any given day, and it's not just food, it's your floor staff, it's your cleaners having done the absolute best job that they can do. It's an extraordinary challenge, I should think. Oliver is somebody who's a current award winner and who oversees a venue. Do you find that there is pressure on you to maintain a particular level at all times?
I think particularly in Melbourne with the amount of good restaurants that are about, you do have to strive for success and consistency and quality. And if it does slip up on the odd occasion, it is quite it can be quite stressful and demanding on yourself and on the team. So, you know, fortunately, if you're confident in your product, it does show through. But there are days where, you know, you feel you're not being as good as you can be. So,
and look, that again, that's a very human thing. We can't always be at 100% of our best all of the time. You know, we occasionally wake up and we're having a bad day, or we're hungover, or you know, we're not feeling well, whatever the case may be. And that's, I guess it's the same in any industry.
Exactly.
So, it must be an extraordinary pressure, and chefs. And hospitality professionals across the sector are always under pressure because the moment you're in front of somebody, the moment you're putting something on a plate, you're always on. The hours are already unsociable enough. There's enough pressure around being able to, pay your rent and do all of that. And how much are we relying on tips? It's a low-paid industry in that regard. So there's already significant pressure that exists. And to maintain that sort of pressure with this on top must be an incredible thing. Sorry, I told you I go on tangents, Asha. and there is my first one. That we might have a quick little message from some of our community partners, and we'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with Oliver and with Asha. Frank Kimura joining us in a little while, and we will unpack the Good Food Month right here in Melbourne, which kicked off yesterday, running through until November 30. It's 13 minutes past one here on the gayest station in the nation. You know it is Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9, the first and only gay and lesbian radio station in Australia, one of only three in the world, so a very special privilege it is to be a part of, and a special privilege to have both Oliver and Asha in the studio. We are talking through the Good Food Month, which kicked off yesterday here in Melbourne, taking us through till the 30th of November. The entire show, we're going to be unpacking what's in the picnic basket. We were just talking, Asha, off air, about the incestuous of this industry. Renee Redzepi delivering a talk yesterday at the Wheeler Centre, mentioned in his speech Alex Atala, who will be here in a couple of weeks as part of the festival. Alex is from
Brazil.
Thank you. I know he's from Brazil. I'm just Dom in Sao Paulo.
I've Dom.
His restaurant just went straight out of my head for a moment. He is from Dom in Sao Paulo in Brazil. One of the top 10 in the world, I think, on the SPL list.
Number 6, actually.
Number 6 there. Yes. See, I'm glad you've got it. So he'll be here in a few weeks. We're hoping to catch up with him because he's an exciting man. But Renee's talking about him, and he's talking about Daniel Patterson and others that... Who and Daniel's from Koi in San Francisco. They're just, it's a very small industry, and I think, Oliver, you were nodding your head there. We all tend to know one another in this business in one way or another.
I was about to elaborate in the sense that in Melbourne we have the same, you know, thing that Renee would have in Melbourne. Everyone knows everyone, and I suppose they're on the world stage where they would go around and do talks throughout the world and visit each other's restaurants, and that incestuousness and relationships are built quite strongly, and, you know, as you'd see with Renee's book, there's probably a lot of stories that he'd have to tell around those relationships.
Interesting. I've just read a tweet that is not directed to us in our conversation, but somebody's suggesting with some sort of exclamation, they just saw an ad on TV for Good Food Month. They really must have sold very few tickets. And somebody making the comparison to Melbourne Food and Wine that never does TV, which is not correct. Melbourne Food and Wine have in fact had ads across TV for the last, I think, 3 or 4 years. So that's certainly not correct. But let's ask the question, how are ticket sales?
We've had quite a few sold-out events across the program, actually.
Okay.
Certainly the Daniel Coy event with Ben Shuri sold out in minutes.
That's not surprising.
That is not surprising. We've got the Mavita Laneway Festival, which you'll talk to Frank about soon. That's sold really well. We've actually got media sponsors on board, so I believe that ad would have been shown on Channel 7.
Probably.
So we've certainly got support ads. You know, with The Age and Fairfax and our great media sponsors on board, we've certainly... And it also being the first year of the event the fact we've got 300 events, our inaugural event, the Night Noodle Markets, which will happen between the 18th and 30th of November, is really an event for everyone. Mm. And we've got some great... stallholders coming on board.
Well, let's start with the noodle markets, because they are something that Sydney has been doing for a number of years as part of the Sydney International Food Festival, which has sort of morphed into Good Food Month in New South Wales. 12 days, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every night of the week from either 5 or 4 p.m., you can get down along the banks of the Yarra in Alexandra Gardens. What can people sort of expect to find at the Night Noodle Markets?
Right, well, the Night Noodle Markets has been going for quite a few years in Sydney. It's actually Australia's largest food festival. The Good Food Month in Sydney is the largest food festival. In Sydney last year, we got over 200,000 people, and I think this year the Noodle Markets has just finished, so we've got just over that. It's been very popular. So in Melbourne, we've had a great response to it. We've got restaurants like Chin Chin, Izakai Den, Wonderbow, Longgrain, Mamak coming down. So they'll be there for the 13 nights. We'll also have bars and some great DJs down there as well. So.
Excellent. So get down and get amongst it. It's a free event to attend. You can go and just sit down and enjoy the ambiance, or you can run around and buy some bits and pieces from... all of those wonderful exhibitors.
Yeah.
You call them exhibitors?
They're stallholders.
Stallholders.
They're restaurants. I mean, you know, there's quite a few restaurants that have been in our Good Food Guide. So that's what we try and do, is just celebrate quality food on offer in and around the city. Mm. So we've been very lucky for this first year to really get quite an array of great Asian restaurants on board. But it really is an event that's not ever been held in Melbourne before, and people will come down and see exactly what it's all about.
One of my questions with the Night Noodle Markets is that there is a mob called Gelato Messina.
That's right.
Who are please tell me they've got some Asian flavoured gelato.
Oh, you will die when you see the menu.
Really?
You'll fall over. I did, because I saw it this week. It came through, and you'll be able to read about it actually in The Age next week. Because we'll be showcasing all the menus on offer from all the stallholders.
Excellent.
But Gelato Messina will use the Night Noodle Markets as a bit of a launching pad for opening of their new store.
I just have an invitation to the opening of their new store, and that's why it's sort of stuck in my eyes. I went, hang on. Hmm.
Yes, we're very excited. So
now, 300 events. How hard is it to actually manage those 300 events? Because it's It's a lot of events over just 1 month.
Yeah, look, when we first started off, we obviously thought we're going to launch Good Food Month in Melbourne, and what a perfect city to do that in. The program is really quite diverse. If you've had a chance to look at it, as cliche as it sounds, there really is something for everyone. So we've got things from hats off dinners, where yep. chefs come on board to sort of, chefs and restaurants from our Good Food Guide come on board to just turn things on their head a bit. So we've got.
What's the process for that? Why are they just doing something that's completely outside of the norm?
Yeah. It's like, basically come up with something that's a little bit different. I think it allows chefs and restaurants to be a little bit creative and do something they wouldn't normally think about doing or have the time to do, during the course of the year.
And some of the people on board with that, Café d'Estasio, Dandelion, Flower Drum.
Hey Modern, the Mark team's coming down here and the Hey Modern team was going up to Sydney.
Grossi Florentino, of course.
all the greats.
And one of the last opportunities to get along to Jacques Raymond before he takes his leave of us in January and hands...
That's correct.
Hands over the reins.
I believe their events have sold out as
yes,
well.
not a surprise, because a very hard place to get into now with Jacques stepping down. Coutts Salamanger, obviously, involved, and Maha, along with, you mentioned, Pay Modern. And The Point in Albert Park.
Yes.
And Steer Bar and Grill behind that one as well. So a lot of opportunities to get to some of Melbourne's better restaurants for the hats off stuff.
Yeah,
obviously, right. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Oliver, we're going to talk very shortly about what you're doing at the Stoke House for your events. But what are you looking forward to going to as an insider in the industry? Is there a couple of things that you're having to take a bit of leave to go to?
I actually had the two Jacques Raymond events written down, but obviously they're gone now. So... anything that's
there's
a little
somebody
bit...
sitting beside you that can help you out.
maybe a spare table next to the kitchen. I think anything that's a little bit different for dining rooms that I would frequent. So maybe looking at D'Estasio and Union Dining and things like that. I've got a friend that owns a cafe out in Reservoir. They're doing one of the breakfast events throughout the course of the Good Food Month, so that'll be good at Lady Bower.
Yep.
I suppose November being one of the busiest times for me at Stoke House, it will be difficult to find that.
Because I imagine you're gearing up, you've got weddings and all sorts of things going on there.
Spring racing carnival weddings, and as soon as the sun's out, we're all guns blazing. So
yeah, so I'm very pleased to see the sun out. It's about 25, 26 degrees already today, heading to a top of 29. There'll be more news at 5 o'clock that will update you with all of that, and of course the winner of today's derby at Flemington. So the Breakfast Club, there's Let's Do Lunch, there's Surprise Saturday Lunches, there's Sunday Family Lunches, there's Supper Clubs, Good Dinners under $30, which sort of caught my attention, Asha, for the fact that we must always consider there's a lot of people who find this absolutely inaccessible from a financial point of view. So seeing that there are opportunities to do something at a restaurant for less than $30 is a great idea.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah.
And then, of course, as I mentioned, there's the supper clubs, there's drink and dine, there's dinners from all around the world. There's so much that we actually need to get through. So what we might do, we might have a little tune that I believe has been chosen by... you, Oliver. This track is called Riptide. It's by Vance Joy. I've not heard it, I must confess. So if it's awful, you can send in your tweets, your SMS messages, all of that to OliverGould1 on Twitter. Or you can, of course, send a message 0427JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au, phone 1300JOY949, and vent your rage at Heath on the desk if you must about this music, or of course submit any questions that you would like to put to either of our guests. It is currently 24 and a half minutes past one, I should say, here on Joy 94.9. This is Riptide by Vance Joy.
Joy 94.9.
Yes, of course, and we are Australia's first and only gay lesbian radio station, 29 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. The track you just heard before those announcements was Riptide by Vance Joy, and indeed a choice of yours, Oliver Gould.
I was gonna say feel free to hashtag poor choice, but I listened to it again and I enjoyed it all the time. So,
and I did say that I hadn't heard it. It was a barefaced lie. I've heard it many a time. And sat here sort of tapping my toes and bopping along to it. So thank you for that.
Beautiful.
If people want to see more Oliver Gould, there's of course an exhibition on at the Rialto currently, which is called Shoot the Chef. Now I really liked this. This is a photographic essay, photographic competition where people were invited to take photographs of chefs. More than 500 entries from around the country, and showing an impressive range of or interpretations of live action shots in Australian restaurants and homes. Oliver, you were actually photographed as part of Shoot the Chef. Who shot you?
I can't actually remember her name.
A lovely young lady obviously did. And so your Fizzog is currently in the Rialto, which Rialto Towers, the exhibition runs from yesterday through until the 29th of November. Is that a free exhibition to go and look at that?
It is free, yes.
Oh, well, there you go. 525 Collins Street, Melbourne, folks. Get to Rialto Towers and go and have a look at Shoot the Chef. Now, I really, really like the image of the winner, which was Ali and his Osabuco. Was that the winner? Yes.
Yeah.
There's a great image. You can. That's the one right there. That beautiful image on the inside of the program.
The Critics' Choice Award by John McRae, actually.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So there's of the 500 entries, how many are in the exhibition, Asha?
There's 25.
Okay.
Pictures.
And were they the top 25 as chosen by your esteemed? Critique.
Look, the Shoot the Chef is a competition that has been going for 15 years. So we've actually opened it up nationally, and it's always been quite a prestigious competition, but it's now we've opened it up a little bit wider to consumers. So we invited them to send some photos in, you know, if they've taken them on their phone or, you know, so it's open for amateur photographers, yep. It's open for professional photographers. And that was really great this year because just really showcased quite a bit of talent across Australia, really.
Any really scary photos of chefs?
Not
that
I
you
didn't
saw?
See any scary ones, no.
Well, that's disappointing.
Very creative. There's some very creative ones.
There's one that was almost a manga-looking one, which I think is also there in the on the inside cover of the program. I thought that was a fantastic shot as well.
There is a chef, and excuse me, I can't remember who it was, but there's a great photo of a chef holding a fish, and it's based from that scene from Scarface. Say hello to my little friend. So
yes.
The fish is the gun, and that's definitely one of my favourites.
Fantastic. Oliver, let's move back to the Stokehouse. So a couple of events going on for Good Food Month with you. Downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing downstairs?
Downstairs is a Brazilian-themed beach party. We've got we've thankfully got Alex Atali to come out for that. So
why wouldn't you? I should think.
I think it's based around a night he does in his restaurant in Brazil, which is a fried chicken night, Asha?
It is called a fried chicken night. His favourite, his famous galinhada party that he holds at Dom.
So completely different to what we would do, but ideally a great location, hopefully a nice warm night, and it should be a good way to spend a Tuesday evening. So
Brazilian beach party. It'll be a nice wrap-up, actually, to Good Food Month, coming to the end there in November.
Yeah, look, I think it's, like I said, you're going to have so much fun working with Alex Atala. Have you met him before?
I haven't, no.
He's such a dude. And then what are you doing upstairs?
Upstairs is a collaboration of with myself and three other previous winners of the Age Young Chef. So we've got Michael Fox, Justin Wise and Mark Briggs coming to join me. Ideally to do, you know, a course each and collaborate together and essentially have a bit of fun. So, you know, it's a good event for me to sort of show my wares, but to get these boys together, you know, you meet each other around the traps over the years, but to work together, it's, you know, often difficult. So
indeed. And always really good fun. Oliver, what's when you know when you've got those other young chefs on the go with you, is there a sense of competition?
I think there will be. I think whenever you are surrounded by other chefs, you do watch what they're doing. You watch to find out new information for yourself. But there's probably that little thing in the back of your head that's trying to see whether, you know, what they're doing, whether you can do it better or they're doing it really well or whatnot. It would never be something spoken, but I think a night like that, I think we'd walk away quite pleased with what we've been able to collaborate, and from seeing the menu, I think there's quite a good offering, and it's quite exciting.
Now, speaking of young chefs who do like a bit of competition, we have a young chef on the phone. He is from the Movida Group, Movida Next Door, Movida Aki. What have I missed there, Frank?
You haven't missed anything except calling me young, I guess.
Frank Kimura, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. From Movida. Frank, Oliver was just talking, we were just having a discussion about that sense of competition. He's doing a collaboration with a number of other former Young Chef of the Year winners. Do you get off on a little bit of healthy competition as well?
Competition cooking? No, I don't. Cooking to me is not so much about competition, but sort of it's about being generous and, you know, and sort of serving people, whether they be customers or friends. So I know that, you know, when I was an apprentice, it was always like, you know, the first thing that the teachers wanted you to do was go into some sort of cooking competition to...
Those confounded salon culinaires and things. They were awful.
Yeah, I never really got into it. I just sort of, you know, didn't really... rather, you know, have a day off, which you didn't get very often, so...
Indeed. Look, I remember being forced into one of them. One of my trade school teachers was, in fact, at the time, the Australian Culinary Olympics champion.
Oh, God, okay.
And so we all had to try and, you know, get ourselves sorted and prepared to enter the Culinary Olympics to represent Australia. And I just looked at him and said, "You've got to be freaking joking, man." Culinary Olympics, I don't think so. Now, we were talking earlier. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I have got a tweet here, and I think it's very funny. We were talking about Melbourne Food and Wine not having done TV ads before to sell their tickets. That song that we played, somebody has just reminded me, that was, in fact, the track from last year's Melbourne Food and Wine Festival TV commercial. So thank you, Charlie, for that information. Very kind of you to submit. Now, Frank, the Movida Laneway Festival tomorrow... I cannot wait. What's happening?
Well, we've reached 10 years old in the location we're in now, so we thought it's time to have a party.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I remember going to Movida the very first time with Helen Razor. I can't believe it. It's 10 years ago.
I can't believe it myself, actually. It goes very quickly.
It hasn't aged you, Frank. I'll give you that.
Oh, well, thanks very much, but I think I've put on a few kilos and got a few more grey hairs in my time.
they just make you look more austere and more wise.
Yeah, exactly. More chefy, I'd say.
That's it.
We're closing off the laneway, and we're just having a bit of a, you know, fun party. It's just basically we've got a, you know, food. We've got a couple of bars outside. We've got some buskers, and, you know, and just hopefully going to have a great time, and just thank everyone that's been a part of it and supported us, and you know, from ex-staff, suppliers, customers, and just say hello and have a great time.
Fantastic! A couple of jugs of sangria and some croquettes, and that should see you through the afternoon, I should think.
Yeah, well, there's a fair bit more than that, but yeah, there'll be plenty going on.
You're sort of the godfather in some sense, and you're talking about your grey hair. I can tell you that Oliver Gould, who is the current reigning Young Chef of the Year, Frankie also has grey hair.
Thanks for that.
It must be something with chefs. I don't know. I'm supporting quite a few of them myself. 10 years seems such a very long time, and I guess you've been almost a bit of a godfather of Spanish food now in Melbourne, because Movida was one of the first restaurants to be, you know, doing some authentic Spanish food. How much has it changed for you?
Well, it's changed a lot. I guess even, you know, the ingredients we could find initially, you know, they were pretty scarce as far as good Spanish quality ingredients, even wines. I mean, you know, a company like Spanish Acquisition that started, you know, bringing in some quality wines just at the time when we opened as well, which was great coincidence. But also people's appreciation of Spanish food. I think now people understand it a lot more. People... you know, give it its credence, and you know that it is one of the great cuisines. It stands up really well.
And it's almost timeless. I mean, Spain, Spanish food influenced a lot by the Moors, interestingly, from Northern Africa in some senses. And Spain, we talk Spanish food, it's like saying Chinese food. There are as many diverse regions of Spain and, you know, offering different, very different types of food, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's incredibly regional. Actually, I'm just sitting here with Richard Cornish running a...
Oh, tell Richard we said hello.
Oh, hi, Richard. You're saying hello.
Good.
And we're doing a book on the south of Spain. So, and we've, you know, it's obviously really influenced by Moorish culture and the New World. But also, like, apart from that, it's, you know, it's as diverse as what Australian food is in the way that, you know, when you talk about quality and, you know, modern and, you know, different interpretations of dishes. So, you know, there's never one right way of doing something.
And I guess the other thing, and how many books have you and Richard written together before I go any further?
Four. We're writing our fifth at the moment.
Wow. You did Barcelona not so long ago, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, that's a couple of years ago, unfortunately. I'm going to go back and do another
couple
edition,
of years ago. God, it feels like only 3 months ago I was writing some recommendations for you of where to go.
Exactly. You know.
Wow.
It goes very quickly.
It does go very quickly, as the last 10 years have gone for you. So what time is it all kicking off, Frank, tomorrow?
1 o'clock.
And goes until
it goes
late?
Until 5, 6.
Okay, beautiful. So until into the evening, that's at Movida. Hosier Lane will be closed off. You can find it across the road from Federation Square.
Just a little bit. It is sold out, though, so I don't want to...
Ah, no.
Unfortunately, yeah, I hope so.
Who do I have to sleep with for a ticket to that, Frank?
I thought you had a ticket.
Oh, I don't yet, but...
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, no worries. Good stuff. All right, mate. Have a fantastic day, and congratulations on 10 years. I can't believe it's 10
Thanks,
years.
Mate.
And tell Richard not to spend all his money on the horses this afternoon.
Oh, I'll let him know.
Good
See
stuff.
Okay.
That's Frank Kimura from Movida. I can't believe it's been 10 years, Asha. Were you cooking 10 years ago, Oliver?
I was cooking 10 years ago, and I think, like you said, it was one of the pioneers of Spanish food, and back then, for a young chef, it was exciting to see that happening. So.
It's fantastic. It is 80 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. I'll be back momentarily to play you another track, which is chosen by Asha. It's The Churches, spelt with a V. And the track is called The Mother We Share. You can hashtag Good Food Month or Poor Choices and at Good Food Month if you wish to complain about this next track. But first, some messages, and we will return after some music to wrap this baby up and talk more about what is in the Good Food Month basket right here on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station. It's Joy 94.9, where it's 18 minutes to 2.
Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are indeed. It is 13 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. That was The Churches, and the track is called The Mother We Share. That was a musical choice by Asha Xavier, who is the general manager of the Good Food Month, brought to you by The Age. Kicked off yesterday, going until the 30th of November. Asha, why that song?
Oh, I really love them. They're a new... A band from Scotland doing big things. They're going to be on Laneway Festival actually coming up. So it's one of my.
Because you know a little bit about music, don't you?
Yeah.
You've got another hat that you wear.
I like to mix it all up, music and food, and yeah, they're certainly a bit of a favourite at the moment, doing really well.
What's that very famous quote? If music be the food of love, play on. Something.
I don't know.
Somebody can let me know what that quote is.
There's a lot of passion and commitment that goes, I think, into both those industries.
Indeed, and a lot of creativity.
Yeah, I was just talking about that. There's been a lot of creativity even with the events in the Good Food Month program. I think, I mean, we have different categories that we invite restaurants and chefs to get involved with, but certainly I think Melbourneian chefs of restaurants have stepped up and come up with a lot of creative ideas.
And look, it's not just Melburnians. We need to pay homage to our brothers and sisters in regional Victoria. A lot of regional events going on. I know there's some markets happening at Castlemaine and in Mansfield that are part of the program. But you wanted to talk about there is a series called The Regional Table.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. We've got a few regional events that have been coming up, and certainly there's the regional event at Lindenbury at the Red Hill, the Yarra Valley Lodge, Golden Plains Farmer Market,
Pentman Ridge Farm.
Yeah, lots going on, and particularly in our we've got some green events in our Down to Earth category. One of my favourites is the local Grow It Supper. So our
now
friends.
This is Queen Vic Market.
Yep.
Talk me through this. I like the sound of this very much.
So our friends Grow It Local. They're big campaigners to encourage people to be growing their own produce. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, you know, honey from bees or pickling. And this whole initiative is basically celebrating backyard, windowsill and community farmers, top-notch producers.
Yep.
So what this supper is all about is that everyone will, you know, pretty much spend the greater part of November pulling together what they can from their own gardens, and then they're invited to come down, and a supper is going to be put together
by a number of chefs.
It's a partnership with Artistic Catering, so they're working with Grow It Local, and that'll happen on November 24th.
So anyone can come down with produce, or do they need to be pre-registered? How does it actually work?
Oh, look, well, if you go to the Grow It Local website, they've got a bit more information on how you can get involved.
Yep. And there's the bookings are at growitlocalmelbourne.eventbrite.com.au,
yeah, right.
Which will tell you more about the event.
Yeah. I mean, growers obviously will be able to come down. There's a discounted price for them, and then anyone who wants to attend the supper.
I'm just thinking that I've got things in my garden that may well be... I don't know how that came about. I have things in my garden that may well be ready at the end of November to be a part of that. So that's a great initiative.
Get involved.
And then you've also got Pete Evans is coming to do something, is he?
Yes. So, I mean, Pete Evans is, you know, he loves to spread the word on healthy eating. So,
well, we remember not so long ago a rather interesting... Twitter discussion and so forth on activated almonds and the like that Pete was talking about. And I mean, you just look at him, he was in the studio a couple of weeks ago. He looks so healthy and so well.
He does indeed.
And people are just, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he's the ambassador for the Mind Foundation. So,
and a picture has just come up on Twitter this second, which is Loving Earth Organic Activated Almonds.
Ah, good timing.
Very good timing. Not from Pete Evans, funnily enough. Sorry, I've interrupted you there.
No.
So Pete's doing that event, which is on, you can go to mind.org and find out about Food is Medicine. The other thing that I do like to see, of course, is Kids in the Kitchen. This is another series of events that's targeted at our young people.
That's right. It's just allowing kids to get involved, I guess, with Good Food Month. And certainly, and I think this is getting back to having a new food festival, is that there is just this excitement, I think, across all ages in the food world. And people just want to get out amongst it and celebrate it, including kids. So
I think I just broke something.
So there is some great kids events. Keep them interested and happy. And
Oliver, some might say that you're still a kid in the kitchen in some respects.
Well, the age would say that, being the young chef of the year, but that changes next year. Unfortunately, I'm tipping over the edge to the other side. But
oh dear,
it is great to see that that even for me, there's a lot of young kids coming through that are still excited about food and the industry, hospitality, and you know, enjoying what we can put forward to the plate.
There's something called the MasterChef effect, which I don't know how much credence you would pay to that, but it's a term that's been used a lot, and I think the better understanding about not just food but where it comes from and how it grows is compared to when, you know, a generation ago, not I was going to say when I was a kid because we grew a lot of our own food, but there was a period of time where kids thought that peas came from the freezer and that sort of thing. It's good to see that children are engaged with not just the cooking part of the deal, but the whole understanding of the provenance of food.
Mm. I think even when I grew up, going through my apprenticeship and into my early years, I'd walk into work and all of a sudden there'd be some food on the bench to work with, and that was it. I didn't really consider where it came from or who grew it or who produced it. So now we have a really good strong relationship with our farmers and suppliers and growers, and it does make cooking fun, exciting. It makes it healthy, and we can train those, you know, those initiatives onto other people.
And, you know, it's I think it's just, it bodes well for the future of the industry to see so many young people engaged with food. My partner was in regional Victoria yesterday judging a school's cooking competition, and there were three young fellows there who were just absolutely obsessed by food. They pressed their own olive oil. They were standout winners of this competition that was held at a regional sort of agricultural show. But my partner was absolutely blown away by their enthusiasm and their understanding of food. You know, what teenage kids are at school pressing their own olive oil? You know,
That's crazy.
Just, it is incredible. Guys, thank you so much for being here. We've got to go and play a couple more messages and we will come back and wrap it up. Of course, the Escape Pod coming in very shortly. Joe and Mark will take you travelling. I forgot to say thank you to Maddie T and to Mark, Michael and Raina for Techno Gaze that was on before us. And then, of course, those crazy young fellows from Fender Bender will be in after 3 o'clock to take you in the car somewhere there, motoring show on until four. Lots coming up on Joy this afternoon all the way through until... well, until you go to bed, whatever time that might be. Let's have some messages and we'll return to say goodbye to Oliver and Asher here on Joy 94.9. It's 5 minutes to two.
Joy 94.9.
We need to say thank you and, of course, do some... this is the plugging section, if you will. Let's start with, if people want to know more about the festival, Asher, they can go to the festival website, which is...
goodfoodmonth.com.
They can find you on all manner of social medias, including the Stork Book.
Yes, that's right. Twitter, Instagram, at Good Food Month, and Facebook.
Excellent. Or they can just ring, I'm assuming they can ring the age and somebody will put them through to somebody in an office somewhere.
Well, they can download the copy of the program.
Which is quite portable as a PDF, yeah. 29 or 30 pages.
Yep.
I should suggest you do it. Oliver, if people would like to know more about the events you have both going on upstairs and downstairs at the Stoke House, of course, with the fabulous Alex Atala, and my name will be on the door there too, if I should
definitely.
Alex Atala over here from Brazil, they can go to the website for the Stoke House, which is...
www.stokehouse.com.au or calling on 9525 5555.
Excellent. And the dates of those events for you?
Alex Atala, 26th of yep. November, and the Young Guns upstairs, 12th of November, so a few days
Excellent.
Away.
Excellent. A couple of weeks apart to get over one before you get to exactly. the other. There at the Stoke House, of course, I need to thank both of our guests, Oliver Gould, who is the current 2014 reigning Young Chef of the Year with the Age Good Food Guide. I feel like I need an applause track in there or something. Oliver, continued success. I think it was a wonderful recognition of your talent and your humility and your knowledge as a chef, and I congratulate you. I was actually there when you won that, and
thank
I
you.
Think it's... we look forward to seeing where you go as no longer as a Young Chef of the Year, but, you know, how far away is Chef of the Year? It's happened before.
Who knows?
Asher Xavier, General Manager of Good Food Month, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's been great to have you in and have a look at the program. Of course, we'll be featuring some of the guests and talent at Good Food Month as it happens over the coming weeks, because it's taking us right through to November, through to the end of November. Next week, Andrew Blake, Greg Maloof, and with a bit of luck and a fair wind, Karen Martini in the studio. We'll be talking about two of the elder statesmen of our industry, in Greg and Andrew. And, of course, Karen Martini is just a hoot to have in at any given time of the day or night. She was only disappointed she couldn't be here today. It is almost 2 o'clock. The Escape Pod will be in with you very shortly. My name is Pete Dillon. It's been my pleasure to have you here, and I look forward to you joining me next week. Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.